Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Yep. That's me, Karen Cataline, and I am just delighted to be here with you on Spouting Off. This is our last show, not permanently. No, we're moving to Fridays. We're moving to Fridays. Our new broadcast live show will be Fridays to noon, from noon to 1 o'clock Mountain. And from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. So put that on your calendar. Come March, in the first Friday of March, we'll start broadcasting the show on Friday. And part of that, I'm going to tell you just straight out, is because we're starting to syndicate this show. And so we want the news and the commentary to be as fresh and as current as possible. And you know, they drop a lot of news stories on Friday. And so it's not as if it's a slow news year. But just so you know, our regular day will be Friday. And I'm very, very pleased to welcome the K-Star Talk Radio Network, which is carrying our show on the weekends there on that network. And I'm delighted to be sharing the boards with people like Erskine, who I like to guest with whenever he asks me. You know, I certainly don't ever say no if I can help it, because Erskine is wonderful. And so you will hear his show during the week as well. So that's kstarradionetwork.com. You'll see some connections there, places where you can hear repeats of my show. And we'll be doing more and more up-to-date commentary, and you might just be hearing the show in more places. So always delighted to work with HiQ, my producer, and it's just a constant flow of delicious material. I wrote a piece this week that was about Bloomberg. I have to tell you, of all of the Democrat candidates, and one is just as horrible as the next, the one that gets on my last nerve is Michael Bloomberg. The hypocrisy, the arrogance, and the need to be the food police. And as some of you know, I wrote a book called Fatlash, Food Police and the Fear of Thin. And Michael Bloomberg was and is the head of the food police. But it turns out, this is not surprising at all, that Michael Bloomberg suffers from the kind of out-of-control eating that he thinks he's going to stop 300 million people from doing. So please, you know, look at my piece. The Western Journal picked it up just today. And give me a moment, and I'll tell you the name of it so you can find it. You can either find it at my website. Boy, a lot of shameless plugs today, isn't it? KarenCataline.com. That's spelled KarenCataline. And the piece is either on my blog, or I will also, you can read it at Western Journal. I got lots of stuff I've written there. And I'm very, very grateful that they picked this one up. It's called Bloomberg Tries to Control Others Because He Can't Control Himself. And what a fascinating insight. When I looked at an old 2009 article in the New York Times, which was suffering with Nanny Bloomberg back then when he was the mayor, it turns out, I just got to read this to you because it's just so great. He dumps salt on almost everything. This is Michael Bloomberg. Quote, the New York Times, hardly a conservative publication. And he may have even been running as kind of a mealy-mouthed Republican then, but that's another story entirely. People can call themselves anything they want. So he dumps salt on almost everything, even saltine crackers. He devours burnt bacon and peanut butter sandwiches. He has a weakness for hot dogs, cheeseburgers, and fried chicken, washing them down with a glass of Merlot. And his snack of choice, Cheez-Its. So that's the guy who appoints him Lord and Master, appoints himself Lord and Master over the rest of us. And he's the one who has the problem. Now, I decided to look at this in the form of obsessive compulsive disorder. When people are feeling disordered inside themselves, they want to control their external environment. In the case of Michael Bloomberg, he wants to control other people. Here's one more quote from the New York Times. He, Bloomberg, is known, you're going to love this, he's known to grab food off the plates of aides and occasionally even strangers. Delicious, he declared recently after swiping a piece of fried calamari from an unsuspecting diner in Staten Island. And to me, this is such a problem with boundaries. He is so clueless, this man. Just because he has $65 billion doesn't mean he's the smartest knife in the drawer. And as I wrote, no wonder it's so easy for him to help himself to your freedoms and your choices when he can't stop helping himself to your calamari. He can't stop himself from trying to control other people, hoping that maybe if he molds the whole world and people in it to his specifications, he'll be able to control himself. That's right out of obsessive compulsive behavior. And I also want to point out, if I have the time, because I got a lot to say, is that it's always the most flawed, the most authoritarian personalities, the most flawed personalities that want to control other people in the first place. When you're secure and you're comfortable in your own skin, you have no desire to control other people's behavior. The only time you want to control them is when they're infringing on your rights. If they're trying to commit a crime against you, then, you know, you use whatever means necessary to stop them from doing that or to stop them from hurting you or your family. That's the way America was when it was sane. And Donald Trump in this election is trying to turn things right side up again. And I most certainly hope that every person who's sane helps him do that. Here's another thing I gotta tell you about. Bloomberg put out these billboards and commercials. I mean, the man has way more money than brains. He spent almost $400 million looking like a complete jerk in the last debate. We are going to see yet another debate, believe it or not. This week we will see it, and I'll probably have some comments about it at some point in time, or you can go to my website or Twitter account, and you'll see all kinds of things that I'm commenting about in the debates. I usually tweet up quite a storm during debates now, especially when they're this entertaining. So Bloomberg put a commercial out, which I just thought was hilarious. Trump suddenly is scared of Bloomberg. I just thought that was just great. Bloomberg is a legend in his own mind. That's all there is to it. If he thinks Donald Trump is scared of him, Bloomberg, he's got another thing coming. He's lost it, you know, and I don't know why he just doesn't go buy an island and live there, because he certainly could. The other thing that was so funny was these billboards that he put up in Las Vegas and Arizona, one of them in giant black letters, Donald Trump eats burnt steak. And then in little tiny white letters on blue, which you can hardly read, Mike Bloomberg likes his medium rare. I mean, so think about that. Just think of it. Here's a person who's acting like a nine-year-old. A nine-year-old is more mature than Bloomberg. Does he really think these billboards are effective at all? I got to take a break because we're taking hard breaks now. When we come back, we're going to have Keith Hansen with us. He has so much great information, and we're going to have a great back and forth. So you stay tuned to Spouting Off right here with Karen Cataline. I'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. We're so glad you're staying with us. So much to talk about. And one of the great joys of doing talk radio is to find immensely talented fellow talk show hosts that I can have on my program. I've had the pleasure of being on his program. And this is a man with an immense knowledge and understanding, very articulate, great show he has. And I got to fill in for him recently, which was an honor. Welcome to Spouting Off, Keith Hansen. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your time.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So tell everybody, for those who don't know, because I have had you on once before, but tell everybody a little bit about your background and how it is that you got to be doing this talk radio thing. And you're going great guns. You're syndicated too.
I am. Yes. And so I'm hitting about 400,000, a little over 400,000 unique sets of ears each and every day, Monday through Friday. And I mean, this is talk radio is something that I literally stumbled into accidentally. I was a guest on a show locally in Florida, in South Florida, and I was asked to guest host for that. I guess evidently I did a good job as a guest.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, that's what I was told. So anyway, he had said, "Hey, listen, I need a guest host. Would you be willing to come in and guest host for me?" And so I did. And despite the fact that I was probably the most nervous that I had ever been in my life.
If you're not nervous, Keith, then you just don't understand the situation. And you were, and so was I. So, yeah.
That was the first time. I mean, you don't know how people are listening, you know, either, you know, on the for better or for worse. You
right.
Really don't know. But anyway, make a long story short, I was approached by the owner of the radio station who has 40 radio stations across the country and said, "Hey, listen, you know, I see a lot of talent in you. We just have to cultivate it. Are you interested in your own show?" And I'm thinking, of course, absolutely.
Twist my arm.
You don't have to ask me twice. So that's how I got started. I got started doing a 1 hour per day show on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And most recently here, before my national show launched, I was based out of New London, New Hampshire, doing WNTK and WUVR, which interestingly is the second oldest talk radio station in the country and the first talk radio station in New England. So there's quite a legacy there. At NTK. I spent 4 years doing a morning show, the morning drive show from 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Actually, two shows contained within that. The first 3 hours was called First Look, and then the last hour was the self-titled Keith Hansen Show, and that's kind of where my leash was taken off. And just really getting into the hardcore political analysis, political commentary, and had some great guests, and that was the show that you were on.
Mm-hmm.
So, right around January, had the opportunity to go syndicated. And so now I can't even, to be honest with you, I have people who tell me now where they've heard me. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know I was there. But
yeah.
My syndication company does very, very well in terms of getting right. The message out there. So daily aggregated numbers are about, it's over 400,000 right now.
Well, congratulations, and it couldn't happen to a more talented guy. I talked to you earlier today, and you said to me that there's something that is just sticking in your craw and that it affects not only where you are, but everybody. And it's always very important to pick stuff that really bugs you because people can hear that you have passion about it. And you have a passion about a lot of things that have to do with limited government and all of that. But there was one that you mentioned this morning. So let's start with that.
Okay.
Okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about, but you tell
exactly
the story.
Yeah. So right. my show is on air tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern time. And so this is something I'm going to be spending a lot of time talking about, not just tonight, but over the next couple of weeks, because it's something that is really important. And it is, I can summarize it this way, and then we'll get into the meat of it, but it is the steady erosion of our constitutional rights. And there's something called the doctrine of the inevitability of gradualism. And this explains change blindness. If you have a packed Thanksgiving table and you ask everybody to close their eyes, it's actually fun. I've done this with people. If you're at a fairly packed dining table, ask people to close their eyes. And then while those eyes are closed, you remove one small inconspicuous item, excuse me, from that table. Have them open their eyes and then have them tell you what's different. And then have them close their eyes again and then remove something else. And it's only after you've removed about a dozen or so items from that table that because people are trying to figure out whether or not something's gone, something's missing, something's been added, or if something's just been rearranged. And it's after you take about 10 to 12 items away from that table, that's when somebody inevitably will say, something's missing. It takes a while before people start to realize, hey, wait a minute. Something is different here. Something is gone.
Kind of like the frog in the boiling water.
Exactly. And wow. So if you were to have them close their eyes and then take all 10 items all of those 10 or 12 items away right off the bat, people are going to come back and they're going to know immediately that something was different. And this is what the doctrine of the inevitability of gradualism will explain, that people by and large are immune to very small and subtle changes in their workplace or in their living environment or wherever the situation happens to be or dictate. And so when you talk to people who say, geez, you know, how did we get where we are today? I think everybody out there listening would agree that if we were to write a story, if we were to get into our way, way back machine and go back 50 years and write about life in 2020 as it is today, no embellishments, no changes, just giving an accurate historical account of what life is like in 2020, you would, without question, be referred to as a dystopian author. Mm-hmm. So how have we gotten so far? Well, and why don't we notice these things until the change is significant and drastic? And that is the doctrine of the inevitability of gradualism. And we are seeing a slow yet steady erosion of our rights. We become immune to the suppression or outright removal of our rights. And one of the most important rights, obviously, you know, I'm very passionate about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is the one right that guarantees the existence of all others. I am also very passionate about First Amendment rights. And of course, within the First Amendment, there are a number of rights that reside there. We have the right to freedom of assembly. We have the right to freedom of speech. We have the right to freedom of religion. But we're going to look at the freedom of speech right now. Okay. And the freedom of speech, without question, is under attack. If you are a Republican, if you are a Christian, if you are a conservative, God help you if you're a Republican, Christian, conservative, because then...
And male. Don't forget male.
And male, yes.
And straight.
a white, straight, Christian, conservative male. Oh,
forget about it.
Have you got a target? Literally. No, I mean, you know what? We joke about it, but we shouldn't be joking about it, Karen, because the problem is that, yes, the white, straight, Christian, conservative, Republican male is absolutely under attack. They are viewed as the oppressor across the board.
Keith, ask Steve Scalise if that's not true, right?
Without doubt.
Without a doubt.
So the First Amendment rights, specifically freedom of speech, is under attack in this country. That the left has found a very insidious way of being able to silence and suppress the free speech of those with whom they disagree. Now, I don't care if I disagree with you, if I'm in agreement with you, I may not like what you have to say, but you have the right to say it. And your rights don't end where my feelings begin. But according to the doctrine, the religion of progressivism today, absolutely. If my speech hurts you in some way, shape, or form, if it runs afoul of your delicate sensitivities, then my rights end where your butt hurt begins.
Yes, and don't forget, as I might as well just throw that in, that your butt gets hurt very inconsistently. Today, it's one cheek, and then, excuse me, in the next, it's another cheek. The left is constantly changing the boundaries and changing the parameters as to what is and is not allowed to be offended by. And that's the other thing, is that they're constantly changing the rules. So under no circumstances, and I'm sure you agree with me, I hope you do, I think you do, should we play that game in the first place? In fact, the moment that they try to hinder our speech, we should speak that much louder and that much more often. Don't you have a story that you wanted to tell me about this that connected all these dots together for you?
There's the historical anecdote, but then it's in relation to what's actually happening today. And I'm going to send you the link over so that way there you can share it with your listeners. But here in New Hampshire, there's some pretty important races that are going on right now. Certainly the race for U.S. Senate. We have two Democrat, very, very progressive Democrat females that are in those Senate seats. We have Jean Shaheen, who's been in there for a long time, and we have former governor, well, actually both are former governors, Maggie Hassan as well, too. Now, Maggie Hassan was, she prevailed over, during the 2016 election, she prevailed over Kelly Ayotte, who was our former U.S. Senator. And Kelly Ayotte shot herself in the foot because she went on the record as being a never Trumper and had gone on the record and said that she was going to write in Mike Pence's name. And I exposed her. I had her on the show as a guest. And she was on my show when I called her out for her hypocrisy. As a matter of fact, it was that interview, the segment of that interview that wound up serving the basis for a panel discussion on CNN with Don Lemon and Van Jones. It was kind of interesting to listen to.
Oh, goody. Good team there.
Discussion. But the point being was, you know, this is an important race here. It's an important race, number one, in New Hampshire. It's also a very important race nationally because we need to make sure that that we flip, we maintain the Senate. We need to flip the House and maintain the Senate. And so this race is important. A Republican candidate for Senate, Corky Messner, was scheduled to deliver a talk entitled Building a Wall Against Drugs, the Need for Border Security to End the Opioid Crisis. Now, this speech was scheduled to be held tomorrow afternoon in the Rockefeller Center on the campus of Dartmouth College, which is, as crow flies, about 15 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. Now, Dartmouth College has a long and colorful history of silencing Republican and conservative speech. And when the college Democrats and the rest of, I mean, it's not just the college Democrats, it's the progressive population on that campus found out that Corky Messner was going to be speaking there. Now there was what was being described as angry blowback from students and threats of violence directed towards the Dartmouth College Republicans. What they have decided is now we're going to indefinitely postpone this event. And I had a conversation with the he is currently the Dartmouth College Republican chairman, Daniel Bryn. I had a conversation with him last night, and he told me that he was in the process of resigning his chair of the Dartmouth College Republican organization because all of the negativity that was coming down on him as a result of this. Now, listen, I know Corky. Corky has spoken at my county committee meeting, of which I was the former chair. We'll get into that in a second. But there were some.
Well, I'm going to need you to speed it up because you know how it is. We got breaks. So I got about a minute or so, and then we're going to talk about Republicans as weenies. I have a feeling that's where we're going, right?
That's pretty much where
I
we're
think
going.
That's it.
The bottom line is this, that the Dartmouth College Republicans have had this proposed speech or this planned speech with Corky Messner shut down because of the blowback from the college Democrats and the college progressive movements and everything else like that. It's one more example of the Republicans, the gutless, spineless, I'm still waiting for our testicles to descend, air fingers, quote, Republicans, who absolutely refuse to stand up to the threats of the progressive left. And I'm going to tell you, when we come back from your commercial break, about the last time that this happened, and I, along with 150 leather-clad bikers, did stand up to the progressives, and exactly what happened on the campus of Dartmouth College.
Oh, I love it. Gee, it's always fun interviewing a talk show host. Karen Cataline, we're talking to Keith Hansen, talk show host and all-around philosopher. When we come back, we'll hear that story, and we'll talk a whole lot more about Republicans as weenies. Time to fight back! And that's what we're going to do. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. To one of my favorite talk show hosts. I have developed a stable of favorite talk show hosts, but this is one of my favorites, and he now does a national show, syndicated. His name is Keith Hansen. He hails from New Hampshire, and he's telling us a little bit about how to fight back and how not to. First off, before we go any further, Keith, how can people find you and find your show? Because this show may be repeated a couple times during the week now. So, and your show finds its way into lots of other networks as well. So how can they find you?
It does. If I'm not on your local station where you pick up your regular your regular talk radio programming, you can certainly go to keithhansenshow.com and you can stream the show live. My show airs Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern time, and you can simulcast it live on that website. And then you can also stream episodes 24/7. Just do a search on iHeartRadio or iTunes or Spreaker or YouTube for Keith Hansen Show. There's a multitude of different places where the show is archived, so you can always...
My, the technology that we have available to us today is stunning. Getting back to what we were talking about the freedom of speech and whether or not Republicans are doing all they can, and this is the generality, mind you, but whether Republicans are doing all they can to fight back, or do they roll over like a puppy to have his belly rubbed. Tell us about the bikers and how you fought back.
just after the inauguration of President Trump. It was on Thursday, the 19th of January, 2017. The Dartmouth, which is a publication published by obviously Dartmouth College, they published an editorial written by a student named Timothy Messon, who was calling for action in response to President Trump's inauguration. He's upset that President Trump, the typical racist, misogynist, blah, blah, blah.
An election that he didn't approve of. Right. Right?
And so he decided that, the most appropriate way to exercise his feelings about President Trump was to conduct a flag burning on the town green. He's going to burn the American flag on the town green. So somebody had reached out to me as the Morning Drive talk show host. I'm going to read to you directly from the Dartmouth Review article. So the Dartmouth Review contacted Keith Hansen, a local radio host and self-described American-loving patriot who was not afraid to stand up and speak out for the causes of liberty and freedom. Hansen, who had also attended the counter-protest, spoke about the planned flag burning on his radio show. Quite a few of the counter-protesters on the green that day had tuned into Hansen's show and been inspired to come and defend the Stars and Stripes. In the end, the number of counter-protesters dwarfed those who wanted to see the flag burn. Here's basically what happened. I had somebody reach out to me and said this was going to take place. And I said, you know what? Not if I could do anything about it. So I reached out to somebody that we had done a lot of work with, a veterans motorcycle organization called Rolling Thunder, veterans and prisoner of war advocacy group. And they, along with a couple of, I think it's another Vietnam Vets motorcycle club, arrived with about 150 people, all wearing their biker leather, carrying American flags and carrying, Gadsden flags, Don't Tread on Me flags, and U.S. Marine Corps flags. And they were out there en masse. And this kid, when he finally showed up, I mean, people were literally taking bets on whether or not this kid, this Timothy Messon kid, was actually going to show up. He did with a police escort because he was afraid that he was probably not going to wind up making it off that green in one piece. Now, I can tell you right now, nobody who was there was looking to do violence towards Messon. But I can tell you another thing. There was absolutely no possibility that flame would meet flag on that green. It would have been extremely, extremely bad for whoever did that. And that's not what I was advocating for. But listen, I mean, you know, as I had said before, the difference between freedom and liberty, and I've said this before, they actually quoted me on this because this is a speech that I give quite a bit. There is a difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want to do. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, okay, we don't say with freedom and justice for all. We say with liberty and justice for all. What is the difference? Well, the difference is knowing that liberty is the responsible exercise of one's freedoms. You may have the right to burn a flag, but is that the most responsible thing to do? Knowing full well that the reason that you can stand on that green and that you can burn that flag is because of the people who paid for that right in blood that gives you now the ability to speak your mind freely, free of prosecution or persecution. However, that is a very strong symbol, and that evokes a lot of emotion in people who actually did fight for that and who watched
their sisters
die.
Keith, let me clarify or slow down just a hair because we have the time. Aren't we talking about taking the consequences for our actions? And if that's true, is freedom just not taking the consequences?
Well, freedom is anarchy. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want to do. Okay, I carry a gun everywhere that I go. It's my right as an American, and I choose to exercise that right. Now, there is nothing stopping me from pulling out my gun and randomly shooting at cars that happen to be driving by. Okay, liberty dictates that although it is free, nothing is physically stopping me from doing that. I have a healthy understanding of right and wrong. I have a healthy understanding of morals and ethics, and that's something that I would never do. That would be an abuse of my freedoms. Let me give you something a little bit more realistic. You have the right to enjoy your property. I have the right to enjoy my music. But if my enjoyment of listening to my music now infringes upon your right to enjoy your property, I have the right to drive down your street at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have a responsibility not to blare my car radio at 2 o'clock in the morning at a volume that disrupts you while you're trying to enjoy your property. In essence, okay, you have the right to be you. I have the right to be free from you. And it's understanding that this nation was founded on very few laws. There's not a lot of laws when you look at the founding of this country. And the reason why there were not so many laws was because people understood inherently what was right and what was wrong. There was a healthy sense of morality.
Excuse me. Sorry. The frog is back. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, we could drill down and I could keep going, but I like drilling down and I like going deeper. And in this case, wouldn't you say, I don't know, but this is what I say. I say that there are mores. There are social constructs, the good kind, not the kind the left talks about, in which stigma, social stigma, can be a very good thing, right? You can defy social stigma. It's not the government's business to punish you for social stigma, but certain social stigmas encourage, at least it used to in America, a level of personal responsibility. When that civil society starts to break down, which is what we're watching right now, then in fact what happens, you get more and more and more laws. Not less and less. It's counterintuitive. It's just the opposite of what people think. Is that if they get, you know, if there's anarchy, that, you know, everybody will do everything. But what will happen, and you and I both know this, is that that's usually a recipe for the left to create so much chaos that the people will scream out and ask that the government do something. Right?
You're correct. If I'm understanding your, you know, the context in which you're saying that and the angle that you're trying to take, no, I absolutely do understand that. And, you know, anarchy is the absence of law. And when you look at, if you boil down all of the writings of the founding fathers were all basically in agreement with one thing. That is the least amount of government that is absolutely necessary to perform the necessary functions to keep society going. That's the right amount of government. That there has to be some, but it should be the least amount. And what is freedom? Freedom is nothing more than the maximum absence of coercion. That's really right. What freedom is.
Right.
It's the absence of coercion. So if I am not coerced into behaving a certain way, but I have morality and ethics that guide my behavior, that's liberty. That's the responsible exercise of the freedom, the maximum absence of coercion that limited government gives me.
Right. And the only reason that I'm belaboring the point is because liberty is usually a very, very generic term, which doesn't always have within it a prescribed set of behaviors. I think it was Benjamin Franklin, I think you probably know better than me, who said that the Constitution and America was designed for a moral people. Mm-hmm. And that without it, you can use the Constitution, especially now that it's been decayed, like the Titanic I was watching last night. It's decayed quite a bit because it hasn't been refurbished enough. You can use those laws against people. Immoral people can do that.
Correct.
And that's what we're fighting today.
So it was John Adams. Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And it's basically the same as saying the devil can quote scripture to suit his own purpose.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well said.
The Constitution was drafted with the understanding that it was a direction, it was a foundation for a group of people who were moral and religious that did not need maximum government to constrain and control the behavior of the masses. That these were people who could live their lives in liberty because they understood the responsible exercise of the society, which was designed for a maximum absence of coercion.
Right.
But again, that's only, you know, it's self-policing only comes down to, it boils down to a success when you have a group of people who can first of all agree on what needs to be done, what is the common goal, and then has some degree of ethical, moral, and dare I even say religious framework that guides their behavior. And I have to say that, you know, I mean, when it comes to religion, listen, you know, a righteous group of people understand that it's wrong to deprive a person of their property or their life. They don't need a law to tell them this is wrong. They understand that it inherently violates the rights of another person, and therefore it's morally and ethically wrong.
Well, but the beauty of the Constitution is that it applies. Yeah. It was inspired, I think, by Judeo-Christian, shall we say, ethics, but it applies regardless of whether you're as much of an atheist as Bernie Sanders is, even though his philosophy wants to rip down the Constitution and the freedoms that we have. We need those laws because we're the consent of the governed. And that's the phrase. We're giving our consent to be governed because we want to protect our rights. And by doing so, we protect others' rights. I've got about 15 seconds before our last break. Can you stay tuned? And then I'll stop interrupting you. But, you know, I like this sort of thing.
No, I appreciate the
It's
back
great.
And I will be here.
Yeah, because talk to a host, you know, you hear a lot of this stuff. You want to drill down even deeper because these are big, big questions. That's what's fun to talk to you, philosophy and all that. Karen Cataline, I'm your host for Spouting Off. Please stay tuned with our guest, Keith Hansen. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Thanks for staying with us. This is Karen Cataline, and I'm your host of Spouting Off. And I'm delighted to have with us for one more segment, Keith Hansen, who's a thinker, that's for sure. Give them your website again so they can find you, they can find your show.
Well, it's the Keith Hansen Show. First of all, thank you for having me, Karen. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and
my
to
pleasure.
Catch up with your listeners. KeithHansenShow.com. Again, KeithHansenShow.com, and you can live stream it there. And again, we're feeding out to a number of different stations across the country as well. And so probably the easiest thing to do, I mean, unless I happen to be on from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. Eastern time on your local terrestrial talk station, you can always live stream the show at KeithHansenShow.com. And you can also grab 24/7 streaming archives of any of the programming there, as well as iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spreaker, YouTube. Your usual suspects.
All the biggies. So listen, in our time left, we've been talking a lot about, I love talking about fighting back, the way that you fight back. And here we are in an election season that looks just delicious in its level of amusement and what the Democrats are doing to try and, you know that old phrase, when your opponent is destroying themselves, get out of the way. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we can sit on our laurels. And when you described, and you may just have to listen to the podcast, listeners, in order to hear the story of someone who basically rolled over because he was being bullied about a speaker that people on Dartmouth College did not want to listen to. This is the antithesis of everything America stands for, and yet many people are allowing themselves to be bullied. I saw an article just recently that talked about the very worst kind of censorship is self-censorship, because that's why this bullying is happening. It's a form of communication terrorism in a way, because it's meant to set an example for others. If you do this, if you say something we don't like, we're going to do to you what we did to this other person. And in a time like this, when Donald Trump is flying high in many, many ways and fighting on every front, what do you think, other than, you know, you guys and your bikers there, what are some of the things in our several minutes left that we need to start talking about, and Republicans need to be standing up and fighting back in a much fiercer way? As David Horowitz says, Republicans are too damn nice.
Well, that's the problem, is that Republicans want to be nice. They want to be the nice guy. And listen, the time for being nice is over. If you remember the Patrick Swayze movie Roadhouse, when he's talking to his new group of bouncers and coolers, and he says, "I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice." And one of the more, you know, dopey sounding, how are we going to know when that is? Don't worry, I'll tell you. Okay, well, let me tell you, somebody who has their finger on the pulse of politics and social issues in this country today, I'm telling you right now, now is the time to not be nice. Because the intimidation, this is the tactic of the left. It is the intimidation. It is the fear. It is that we're going to shout you down. We're going to dox you. We're going to smear your name. Because the left is very good at character assassination and innuendos and smear tactics. And these are the tactics that they use. We have got to stop worrying about being nice. Because guess what? When you're lined up on the firing line, whether that's literally or figuratively, nobody gives a rat's ass about how nice you were when you went to your deathbed. We have got to start fighting fire with fire. And we have to understand what is at stake in this country. This country is at war right now against communism. And if you haven't figured out that communism and socialism, the precursor to communism, is the direct cause of over 100 million deaths in the past 100 plus years, then you probably don't really have any business being in the argument. If you think that we're a democracy and not a constitutional republic, I'm sorry, but you're too stupid to be involved in the debate. Shut up and get out of the way and do us a favor. Please don't vote, because you don't know enough to actually be able to go in and cast an educated ballot.
Hey, you're so amusing.
I'm not saying this to be amusing. I'm saying this.
I love it. I love it. I'm telling you, you are amusing. You're way fun. All right, so let's drill down again. What are some of the things I want to get real down and dirty on the way to fight back? And I'll give you a couple. Let's do our own list, you and me, Keith, about the kinds of things you can do to fight back that we never did before because maybe we were complacent. I don't know if I count you and me in that argument, okay? Because we fight back a lot. However, everybody finds their own way, their own style. Nobody has to do it like Donald Trump does. God knows, I don't think anybody could. But we all have our own style and we all have our wheelhouse. One of the things I think works exceptionally well is humor and mockery. The left does not have a sense of humor. They don't like to be mocked and they don't like to be laughed at. Look at Michael Bloomberg's exceptionally thin skin. Here's a guy with $65 billion, and he can't stand that there are people that don't like him. So mockery and humor, because they don't get it from Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live only mocks conservatives. They don't mock liberals. So we got to do it. You got any other ones? Tell us some more.
Stand your ground. The bottom line is stand your ground. Now, I've reached out to Corky Messner, and I've reached out to the Rolling Thunder group again. And if I have my way, Corky Messner will speak. Corky Messner will stand in the middle of that Dartmouth town green, and he will give that speech surrounded by 150 bikers who are more than willing to give motivational seminars to any of these butthurt little snowflakes that decide they're going to go and shut this guy down. Because in this country, Corky Messner, whether or not you like what he has to say or if you don't like what he has to say, if you don't like him, then how about this? Go back to your dorm room and do whatever it is that you're doing. Do keg stands, go sleep with your girlfriend or your boyfriend if you're a guy, whatever. Go do your makeup, go work on your gender studies degree, but stay the hell off the green. If you don't like what he has to say, don't go. Don't show up. don't listen to it. But just because you don't like it doesn't mean that he now loses his right to speak his mind using his First Amendment rights. And if I have any say over this, this speech will go on with 150 leather-clad bikers who will provide protection to this guy.
That has to be. We have to do that. Otherwise, they win. I love your passion. And I, you know, it's great. I can sit back and I can listen to you going, you go, Keith. Here's another thing. Republicans are always on the defensive. They don't realize that part of the rules for radicals of Saul Alinsky is to isolate your opponent and to put them on the defensive. And all you got to do is look at Donald Trump and realize he never lets himself be put on the defensive. He's a master at it. And Republicans in general, we've been taking a master class from Donald Trump. And some people, we hope, have been watching about how not to be put on the defensive. Always keep going forward because we have the right ideas. We have a couple of minutes left. You got any more and any final closing thoughts for us? I got about 2 minutes.
The bottom line is this. You've heard the expression before. First, they came for the Christians, but I wasn't a Christian, so I didn't speak up. Then they came for the Jews, but I wasn't Jewish, so I didn't speak up. And then finally, they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak up. You have to understand that the progressives, the communists in this country, their war is against every single person who does not fit lockstep into their philosophies and ideologies. It may not be you right now, but it will be you at some point in time unless you are in full capitulation with their agenda. So you need to wake up and realize that sooner or later, it will be your speech. It will be something that will reach out and touch you at your front door. And you'd best wake up and start standing up to these people right now in whatever capacity. Don't back down. That means if you want to put that Trump sticker on your car, do it. If you want to walk around with your Make America Great Again hat, do it. I do it all the time. God help the first person who comes up and tries to physically knock that hat off my head. You know what? I will defend myself because that is my right. I have the right to express myself. You do not have the right to use physical violence to try to suppress my ability to express myself.
Right.
If you choose to use violence, I will use violence back. And I promise you, being a talk show host is not the only thing that I do professionally. I'm very, very good at my other job, which happens to be teaching defensive tactics.
Yes, and that's why I have the pleasure of filling in for you. Keith, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for bringing your thoughts, your ideas, your passions. We got to go and wrap up this show, and everyone, listen to Keith Hansen. You did today. I had more to say, but we're going to have to leave it there.
It goes by quick, doesn't it?
It does. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, Karen.
That does it for this edition of Spouting Off. Thanks to HiQ, and thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in on Fridays when we will have a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.